Take two.
We had technical difficulties on this one.
Yeah, I was going to say, this time, not Paranormal Activity, just me.
Well, you know what? I'm just going to blame everything on Paranormal Activity.
We can blame it on Paranormal Activity, but what happened was my SD card ran out of space in the middle of us recording, and I didn't notice. And I was like, where did the audio go? What's happening? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got 15 minutes into the episode, and then nothing from my side, so take two.
So take two. Also, Corinne, can you tell everyone your ghost story that you told people on Campfire Stories?
Okay, it's the quickest ghost story ever. The other day in my house, I was lying down on the couch, mm-hmm. and Brian had gone into the basement, and I could hear him moving down into the basement. And then all of a sudden, I saw what appeared to be like, it looked like two legs, but wearing like black or like a dark wash jean or something, coming up and walking from basically like the path that he would have to walk back into the room I was in from where mm-hmm. he was. And I was like, that's odd. Like, he was just in the basement. He made the quickest, speediest return to this room ever. And so I'm like watching a few steps happen out of the corner of my eye. And then I look up and there's no one there.
You saw ghost legs.
So I saw ghost legs in my house. And I even was like, am I seeing things? Was this a reflection? And I was like trying to move my hair. Like, is my hair doing this? I don't know. I couldn't recreate what I saw. So,
but nothing since then, right? Because this is 2 days later that we're recording. Okay.
Nothing since then. Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel scared in my house.
Good. I mean, I don't think it's scary. If anything, I think you have a lot of new things happening in your life. And either it's someone, a guardian, some like familial ancestor of yours coming to see you and visit you, just like say what's up. Or there's something in the house that's just like, you know, checking out what you're doing.
Yeah, perhaps. I don't know, but I feel so much more scared. Like at my parents' house, if I had to walk downstairs into the kitchen at night, I'd be shitting a brick. But here I could do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's good. That's a positive.
So far, because I just haven't had as many experiences here as I've had at my parents' house. So maybe that will change one day where I'll need to have the buddy system in place to move about.
You wake up your creepy kid to be like, hey, will you come downstairs with me?
I'm thirsty. Can you walk me to the bathroom? They're like, I'm 2 years old.
I'm two.
Get it together.
But yes, I'll hold your hand. I have an update on my haunted computer.
Oh, please do tell us. Because this has been, I mean, the this saga. Has been since November, so.
October. Back in October. We did I'm just going to give the briefest synopsis and like recap. We did an episode for Payne's podcast, Talking to Death, and he pulled out a mini Ouija board. We were like, oh, how cute. It could be, nothing could go wrong. We did it. Nothing happened. I put it in my backpack. We went to the show. My computer didn't turn on, wasn't working. Took it to Apple. They were like, what the heck? It's broken. Got backstage, put a bag of crystals on it. All of a sudden it turned on. This has been the saga, and I've just had to take it to Apple multiple times, and it hasn't worked. Mm-hmm. I got it back yesterday. I turn it on, and it's doing the same thing. And another part of this haunting that I am experiencing with my computer is that it just, when it turns on, just chooses a random date and time. I went to go log into Riverside on it, and it was like, your clock is behind. Guess what date and time it picked?
I'm kind of scared to guess. Was it the same day that we did the Ouija board?
No, it makes no sense. April 1st, 1976.
Will you have a time traveling computer?
I guess
what
so.
What in the world? This
1976.
So you can't trust your computer anymore. You just have to go by like Google Calendar or something.
Yeah. And it's not even like the correct time. Nothing is correct.
I don't understand why Apple can't figure it out. Like, you've been there so many times, and they
I'm going back after
don't
this.
Get it.
I'm just going to be like, hey, can you just give me a new one? Like, what's up? I have AppleCare. I can't deal with this haunted computer anymore.
Yeah, how many more times are you supposed to go in and then say, oh, I don't know, and then it's still broken?
Mm-hmm.
This frustrates me for you. I have to do the same thing. I have to go into Apple and be like, why are all of my Apple headphones not working? I've been wearing Brian's headphones for recording. These are his workout headphones. And he very puts cute little covers over the beats. And these ones have milk and cookie designs.
Oh.
So
okay,
I get to be fun for a few more weeks until I get my headphones fixed.
The technology of Two Girls, One Ghost.
Yes.
Also, that's our podcast. That's where you are.
Yep. This is Two Girls, One Ghost.
Two Girls, One Ghost. We are your ghostesses. That is Corinne. I am Sabrina.
Hello.
And this is an Encounters episode. We've recorded this once, but you never heard it. We're going to record it again so you can hear it.
And to be honest,
what?
Because we're recording so many episodes, we recorded this, it had to have been like a month ago. And so I confidently can say I don't really remember what the story is.
That's true.
So I do feel like I'm going to come in just as fresh as I did the first time because they've all left my memory.
Okay, well, I'm going to read a story from our listener, Brittany. And Brittany had messaged us on Instagram now like a month or so ago about her landlady experiencing demonic possession.
And oh, okay. I do remember this
now,
one. Yes.
Yeah. And I was yeah. like, can you please email us? And also like, is she okay? But most importantly.
Concerned, horrified.
Can you
email
us?
But mostly intrigued.
Yes. Okay. So Brittany sent us a full email and buckle in, everyone. This is like incomplete thoughts. Okay. Hello, my spooky lovely ladies. I'm finally typing out the email with my landlady's experience. It's my first time submitting a story, so I'm pretty nervous. My name is Brittany. Yes, it's Brittany, bitch. Please feel free to use my name as I will literally crap my pants if you read this story on the podcast.
Crap away, Brittany. Crap away.
Wear your diapers. Whether or not you do, I'm still so glad you ladies are taking the time to read my email, so let's get into it. You can use all names in this story. My landlady's name is Lola, and she is a sweetheart in her 60s. She rented out her upstairs apartment to my mom and I about 3 or 4 years back. While we were moving in, I went to my room to set my belongings down when I realized I hadn't even seen the view from my window yet. So I head over and I take in the view, and it's a cemetery, which was a lovely surprise to me as I naturally am an overall spooky gal and figured, wow, what a great fit.
I would love that too.
Brittany, you're one of us.
That's how you house hunt an apartment
yeah.
shop. You have to look for the nearest cemetery. How quick is your access to spookiness?
Yes. Also, it's so peaceful too. When I was in Marblehead, I went to the old burial hill. And the house that's like right there is one of the most beautiful homes.
The yellow one like, right on the bottom of the mm-hmm. rock face. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Stunning.
That one's so nice.
I thought, wow, what a great fit. And it is. This story doesn't involve the cemetery where just 2 feet away from the edge of my backyard are hundreds of people. No, no. This is far more sinister. Last month, December 2023, I get home from work and my mom is in the living room enjoying some cheesy Hallmark Christmas movie. I sit down and start to relax and I get on my phone and we just chill when all of a sudden we both hear screaming and yelling coming from downstairs. We froze. We looked at each other and just stayed quiet for a moment. The yelling continued, followed by sounds of banging on the walls. And at this point, we're full on eavesdropping, trying to figure out what's going on. And this is when yeah. we hear that she's not yelling at her husband like we originally thought. She is yelling the following words. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, I demand you leave this house. She's continuing to scream this and chant other prayers while banging on the walls.
Oh, chills. Chills.
Then we heard what sounded like multiple people joining in on the chanting and yelling. And it went on for an hour.
I'm so curious if there were other people there or if it's like from the woman's perspective in her own apartment. Do you think she thought she was alone? But to the outsider, there's like a cacophony of voices from all of her like spirit guides and protectors.
Oh, that's cool.
Or was this just other people trying to help?
I think it's other people.
Yeah. I want it to be a cacophony of guardians.
During this time, we heard some crying, some screaming, some singing, and more banging. We were baffled. It sounded like they had a whole group of people, so we were nervous to try and call her and disrupt whatever service they were maybe having. It happened a few more times, followed by more strange things. We noticed that our neighbors left gospel music on all day and all night, like literally at a decent volume 24/7.
Yeah, that's not a good sign. It's one thing if it's like small background noise to let your pets listen to something while you're gone, but for it to be loud, it's purposeful.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys know that hair thinning will happen to approximately 1 in 2 women? And I was one of those 1 in 2 women. And we get that it can feel really lonely, can feel really frustrating, but you can also join over 1 million people that are doing something about it with Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Everyone's root cause for hair thinning is different, so there's no one size fits all approach to hair growth. They do have multiple formulas that are tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow throughout different stages of your life, whatever you're going through. They take all of those things into consideration and create physician formulated supplements with drug free ingredients.
So I use the plant based one. And then I recently, my sister, now postpartum, she was experiencing a lot of like hair thinning and poor hair growth afterwards. So I got her onto Nutrafol as well and has been experiencing so much hair growth. And she's not the only one. I'm not the only one, because in a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. You can take their hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes, and take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code TGOG. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com is spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code TGOG. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code TGOG. Lola called us and mentioned that she had been dealing with some things, but that she wanted to give us a full explanation when she felt more comfortable about opening up about it. I'm glad that she called. Mm-hmm. We respected that, of course, and just wished her well in whatever hardship she might be facing. She mentioned that her and her husband would be going to Jamaica for a few days and asked if we could collect any mail she received until she returned. A nice, well-deserved vacation, I thought. And so they left, but they left the gospel music on. The very next day after they left, one of their nephews rang my doorbell. I opened the door to a young man who was speaking calmly, but also I could tell was in a slight panic. Hi, I've been ringing Lola's doorbell and no one's coming to the door. I see their car in the driveway and I'm worried that something may have happened. I let him know that they left for Jamaica and that they would be back in a few days. He relaxed and thanked me and went on his way. But I was like, that's kind of strange. Their trip must have been so sudden that even some of their family members were not aware that they were gone.
Right. And also, Jamaica is a place that I would think, if you were going through what this woman is potentially going through, screaming these prayers and trying to rid her place of something that seems dark, having the gospel music on, I would think Jamaica could be one of the places that you go to get what you need to combat something this intense.
I'm pretty sure they're from Jamaica, too. So,
well, even more power in using ancestral, like what's already within your culture.
Or even if it's just like, we need to get out of here. I need to like have a breath of fresh air for a moment.
Yeah.
So I found it odd that it seemed like they didn't mention it to any of their family members. And I may be wrong, but it feels like vacations are usually booked a few weeks, if not months in advance. But this felt very sudden. So I started to feel like it wasn't just a vacation anymore, kind of what we're just saying. After they came back, nothing really changed. The loud prayers continued, the crying, and my mom said she even heard animal sounds one time. And they do not own any animals.
We need a description. Like, what are the animal noises? Does it sound like little birds? Does it sound like hooves? Scratches?
Finally, Lola called and said she was ready to talk. So we invited her upstairs. We made her a nice hot latte. And she spilled the details of everything that she had been experiencing downstairs. She said it first started as reoccurring nightmares of countless dead bodies surrounding her. She would be waking up at all hours of the night in a panic after these horrible, morbid nightmares. She started to see a black horse standing outside of her house. Now, I'm not sure if she said its stance was protective of the house or threatening the house, but nonetheless, it became a recurring experience and dream. She also noticed a scent that was unusual. At first, she tried to find the source, but could not track it down. And as I'm typing this, you guys, I'm literally hearing her praying loudly below me. Which means it's continuing. This is not a, we are not getting a happy ending at this email.
No, nothing's tied up with a bow. This is active.
Yeah.
Current.
The smell was of rotten eggs. And with these experiences, she started to seek help from religious professionals within her Pentecostal church and peers, which is where we heard multiple voices.
There we go. Okay. Well, and the smell of rotten eggs. If anyone is just now tuning in or is somewhat new to the paranormal world, sulfur and rotten eggs, that's associated with a demonic presence.
So she wasn't finding much relief with all of this help. And at this point, she realized that the scent was definitely following her. And she said it even followed her in Jamaica. So they came back home and continued to host more prayer groups and continues to see shadows in her home. And still she feels a presence and that rotten egg smell is still there. She told us that she had asked so many people from many different religions and many different spiritual beliefs for any advice, anything that could help her, rituals, burning herbs, spices. She has burned sage, Palo Santo, has blown nutmeg and cinnamon throughout her house. She has burned something else that she was given when she was in Jamaica. She tried using salt in her doorways. She basically practiced a bunch of different rituals that some peers and religious leaders suggested, and nothing has worked.
Wow.
But she is relentless and will not let this entity have any opportunity to take over. She told us that after some time, she started to have dreams about this white cat. Beautiful white cat who would sit and circle her in a protective manner. So she took this as a good sign and feels that God is with her and looking over her. But she does still feel this presence and it's still there lurking. But it may be getting weaker. She also explained that she's been told to leave the gospel music on all night and keep the lights on in her home all the time, which explained why we would wake up in the middle of the night to the lull of music being played downstairs. Apparently, demons don't like light and noise, specifically anything religious. So she had been leaving the music on and broadcasting a religious channel. She was told to bang on the walls while demanding her space back and tell the presence, "You are nothing. I am God's child and you cannot have me. You are weak. You are not going to win. I am the child of God and his light is within me." She would do this as she's slamming the walls, trying to get the presence out from within the walls. Lola also mentioned that she started to speak in tongues during a prayer session, but does not remember what she was saying. And listen, this is somewhat normal within her religion. And sometimes when people are moved and feel the Holy Spirit inside of them, it can cause them to speak in tongues. Usually there is an interpreter there to translate what the Holy Spirit is communicating. But in Lola's case, no one knew Latin when this happened to her in her home.
Oh, God. I hate that.
It's just scary because it's like an unknown.
And that you know it's coming from something else, too. Like, right. It's more proof of the paranormal activity that you're encountering and experiencing, because if no one else understands it, no one else knows, it is this thing that does exist, but there's no knowledge of that thing.
Or it could be interpreted more as like the interpreter that is usually at the Pentecostal church and that group was not there with them, so they couldn't decipher it.
Okay, yeah.
If we want to say it's more of the Holy Spirit coming through her, not anything negative. Which I would rather believe.
But it's like, how do you decipher?
I don't know.
Again, like, how do you know?
I don't know.
How do you know who's coming
through?
We
don't know. After this conversation, I ran to my room to grab any supplies that I may have, and I brought them to her. I gave her some Palo Santo, obsidian stones, some candles, and incense. And the following day, I got her some dragon's blood sage because someone told me that would be a good herb to burn to drive out purely dark energies.
Oh, I will say, dragon's blood and white copal, those two things were when my brother was experiencing a lot of darkness and those hooded figures kind of like walking in a circle and chanting in his childhood bedroom. And that activity would kind of continue to return every 6 or so months for a few years using the white copal. And we used a dragon's blood resin.
Oh.
Those two things were the only things that would actually clear the space and make it silent for like 6 months.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, that was a good move, Britt. My neighbor Lola is still experiencing this entity lurking in her home and following her around, but she does feel like there will be an end soon. She believes that the entity has slowly started to grow tired as she has been really putting up a hard fight. As of right now, things are still happening, but she continues to pray loudly and demand her space back. I have confidence in her, and I think she eventually will overcome this presence. She is one tough Jamaican lady who I personally would not want to mess with. So nope. The demon really picked the wrong boss bitch, that's for sure. To end this, I would like for anyone who's listening to just take a moment and set your intentions to my lovely landlady, Lola. Send her the best vibes. She's been feeling very low and has even gone to the hospital a few times during this chaos. And I just want her to find peace and continue to live a long and healthy life with no demonic creeps lurking around. It's not so much to ask for. That's the end of the story right now. I do have plans to go to Portugal to see my family, and I promised Lola that I would stop in Fatima and get some holy water for her. But until then,
my family has some from there too.
That's smart. That's it for now. If you would like, I could keep you updated with any new developments. And we did get a development. It said, I just got my wisdom teeth pulled today, so I'm home recovering, and my landlady and her husband rang my doorbell a few times. I opened the door and she practically ran upstairs and said she had a bad feeling, like she was going to faint. So I sat her down. I gave her some water and started lighting some incense and Palo Santo as she began to pray. And then she received a call and she put it on speakerphone, and a lady was singing gospel music to her and leading her for a prayer. This happened for like 45 minutes to an hour. She finally started to feel better and they went back down to her apartment. I told them that I'd be home for a few days, so if they needed anything to just let me know, and we hugged, and that was that for tonight. I hope you have a lovely day, and I will see you on the other side, but hopefully also on this side, Britt.
Wow. I'm curious, her feeling of faintness and lightheadedness coming on, I do wonder if that was potentially like a precursor to possession.
It's so weird because the way I'm imagining this place, like it's upstairs, downstairs. The fact that it is so contained to just Lola's apartment.
It's targeting her.
Yeah.
Right. This is, Britt's not experiencing this. At She's all. Witnessing Lola experience it.
Which is so scary.
Yeah. So Lola's being targeted.
And I'm so curious how it started.
Yeah, that's true.
I know it started with the nightmares and stuff, but like, I wonder if there was like a Lola went somewhere or brought a new object into the home.
Well, also, they're across from the cemetery, and even though our belief is that cemeteries are some of the least haunted places and the most peaceful places, it does attract people who do certain rituals. High schoolers, middle schoolers going in with a Ouija board, maybe using it totally incorrectly.
Yeah.
And then the natural next place for an entity to go that maybe was summoned or brought in, found access, is the house next door. First level, Lola.
I'm all about saving money this year, and I am so glad. Mm-hmm. The second we were sponsored by Rocket Money, I was like, oh my gosh, sign me up. I'm scared, but I need to do this. I have already saved so much money every month. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, you have full control over your subscriptions and a clear view of your expenses. Sabrina and I did it. Was it shocking? Yes. Mm-hmm. Was it good for us? Yes. Did we cancel some subscriptions?
Hell yes.
More than one. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/TGOG. That's rocketmoney.com/TGOG, rocketmoney.com/TGOG. Jeez. Okay, I would love to do something that Britt asked of us. We did this once on Campfire Stories and it worked. So I'm not saying that we have any special abilities or anything, but I do think that this community is really, really powerful. And if we can just for a moment focus all of our energy for everyone who is listening, if you're in a safe space where you can like sit and close your eyes for just a moment, we all send positive energy to Lola and to her husband and to protect her and to banish whatever negative and evil is bothering her and trying to attack and harm her, that it is not welcome there, and that the power of this community and the love and the light that we have to offer can help shelter Lola from this darkness.
I feel like usually when I'm trying to focus, my hands are the thing that buzzes, but I had so much buzzing in my chest this time as you were saying it.
That's so weird. I did too.
That is weird. Okay, Lola needs it, clearly.
Yeah.
I remember saying this the first time we recorded this episode, and I will say it again, and I don't know how helpful it is, but from my perspective, from what I'm hearing from Britt, it does seem like there's not much that's actually lessened the activity. There's a lot of attempting to banish, attempting to claim the space, a lot of holy prayer, bringing in all these different things, and it doesn't seem to be moving the needle as far as it should be. And so I'm curious if all of that activity is still grounded within so much fear that this entity is eating this fear and getting all of the, like, supercharged from all of this constant fear. And even like the religious programs that you can put on the television that, that Lola plays, there's some speech in there and probably some energy from the crowd that's watching it live that perhaps this entity can feed off of. So I'm curious if Lola just took 1 week to just completely ignore it, not engage with it, and just no matter what, like a bookshelf falls in front of you, you try not to flinch, just la 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 in your own world, what would happen? It might move upstairs with Brit, but
it's hard. It does feel like Lola's done and tried everything. I really hope she can find some solace from this, because I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Like, life is already hard enough.
This is one of those things where it's like, this does feel like a horror movie. It almost feels like the only option is to fully move and leave. But then would that entity, well, one, you're saving yourself, but like, if it stays in the space, what's going to happen to the next people?
Well, also, it follows her. She was in Jamaica and it followed her.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Even if she does move, it could potentially follow her, because, you know, maybe in Jamaica it was just following her because it knew that she was going to come back and it was like, hey, roomie, we're taking a family vacation. But there's a good chance that it just, yeah, continues on.
I feel like there should have been a DCOM Disney Channel original movie that was The Demon Family Vacation.
Let's write our own version of Disney movies with dark twists.
I feel like it's almost like the Even Stevens movie, but it's like they all go on vacation and the demon that haunts them came with them.
I don't know if I've ever seen the Even Stevens
movie. You haven't?
If I did, I don't remember it.
Oh, it is. I mean, I haven't seen it in years, but it had some twists and turns.
Wow. Okay. What was that movie? It so hurt my heart. It was like maybe the next movie that Shia LaBeouf did.
Holes?
In Disney. No, it was before Holes, where he was. Now I'm just thinking of all like the Disney movies that ever existed. But there was a Disney movie where it was about his older sister and him, and he had some learning disabilities in this movie. And there was this scene, and it just like hurt me and shattered me so much, where like he's on a bridge or something, and there's a bunch of kids that like all take his baseball cap and they spit in it, and then they have him put it back on his head and he's getting bullied. And something broke in me that day. And I was like, oh, I will never witness anyone experience something like this and not fully intervene and scare the shit out of the people that are bullying. And I did take that with me through the rest of my life. I definitely did scare a few bullies. But man, probably not the message that they wanted in Disney.
That's so sad.
React by becoming a bully to the bullies, but
you got to stand up for yourself and for other people sometimes. Yeah. Better than doing nothing.
Totally. All right. I have an email. It's called Haunt Me Once, Joke's on You. Haunt Me Again, Still the Joke's on You. Haunt Me Again. Well, I guess I'm an idiot.
You're not. If anything, it's the paranormal world is unpredictable. And
we don't have much control.
There's no control.
We try.
Unless you're like actively like inviting it in with like Ouija boards and being like, come at me, bro. But
come at me. Yeah. And doing all the things to try to open up portals and means of communication. But I'm not sure that that's exactly what happened here. But there is a trigger warning for this story for light talking of verbal and physical abuse and racism. Hey, Corinne and Sabrina. Also, hi, Sabrina and Corinne. I did it both ways because I don't know whose name to put first.
Oh,
we don't care. We don't read into it. My name is Tara, and I'm absolutely in love with this podcast. I may be a little chaotic because I'm not someone who just listens in a linear pathway. I jump through episodes. I've been thinking about writing into the podcast since I started, and I am a major procrastinator. I seem to have more experiences or situations when I talk or put too much energy into it, But today I decided I'm going to bite the bullet and I'm going to do it. I'm going to email you. And spoiler alert, I started this in February of 2023. It is now December of 2023 and I'm finally finishing the email. So it was an 11-month long writing process.
You still sent it. That's all that matters.
You sent it. And that's huge. I was adopted at a young age with my two sisters and one brother. We were adopted by our mother's brother and his wife, who also had four kids. We moved into this very rinky-dink little town in the middle of the woods, like little as in there were only three main roads, and surrounded by pine trees and big oak trees, and your property was a couple of acres, and you had some space between you and your neighbors. The school was located in the neighboring town 30 minutes away. This so sounds like somewhere near where I grew up. I'm sure most of America is like this.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that the first town, Branchburg, where I grew up, didn't have its own high school because it was too small.
Yeah. My high school, we had, it was like five or six towns that fed into one.
Yeah.
To have enough kids. My aunt and uncle were not good people. I was the youngest of all of the kids in the house, and my earliest memories that I have are foggy at best, and although I cannot remember a lot of what happened or what I experienced, I do remember the pain and the sadness and just so much anger. Those feelings were always so strong. When I remember feeling alone and out of place, one thing pops out of my memory, and I didn't think of this as an experience or even really remember it until a couple years ago, but I had an imaginary friend. Which is pretty normal for kids, especially for children who've experienced or dealt with trauma. Mm-hmm. My imaginary friend lived at my daycare. He never spoke to me, but I knew his name, even though I don't really recall him ever telling me his name. But his name was Mr. Z. He was a shadow that walked on the ceiling. And when I was upset or I was getting hurt, my eyes would go to the roof and he would be there. He never spoke, but I would feel safe and I would feel comforted and numb to what was going on around me. He was almost always with me at that daycare from hell, but he never came home with me, though I wanted him to so terribly. At some point, I don't know the exact time frame, the daycare was shut down by DCF and I never went back and I never saw him again. At home, my uncle had severe anger issues. And some backstory, I don't know how to say this in the correct manner, but I was the only child in a household that was half black. The only adopted child with a different father. My uncle and aunt, they were very racist people, and I didn't realize why I was treated and talked to in a certain way growing up, but eventually I filled in the blanks as I got older.
It's so sad. It's like on top of having lost your parents and then being amongst your family who's supposed to like take care of you, feeling so alone and so ostracized. I can't even imagine.
For something that you can't help at all, too. Like, why does Why does it matter? It shouldn't.
Aww.
There would be good days where everything would be going great and no one was yelled at or was in trouble, when out of nowhere, things would just totally flip with my uncle and he would change. One time, he came out of his room while we were in the living room watching a movie and he was just in this rage and he started tearing up the living room, screaming that we were too loud, and quite literally, he ripped the ceiling fan from the ceiling. And I was on the floor when this happened, only about seven, and I felt sheer terror. And I quickly ran to my room that I shared with my two sisters. And that night, I just laid in bed too scared to breathe. I would take a breath in, I would hold it, and then I would let it out slowly and wait before breathing in again. I was just so scared that I would be too loud and he would come into the room in a rage, but this time that I would be the target of his anger. The layout of the room we stayed in had a bunk bed, which my two sisters that were older slept on the left side of the door, and then the single bed that I slept on. The foot of the bed that I slept on faced the door of the bedroom, which was always open, and that was one of the rules, that you could never shut the door to the room. That night, as I laid in the bed, barely breathing, paralyzed with fear, it slowly transformed into terror. My eyes were locked on the doorway of the room. My breath completely stopped. In the doorway, sticking out as if someone was peeking in, was the black silhouette of someone. It was only the head, as if whatever it was sneaking a peek at me. And through my terror, my tears streaming down my face, I rasped in a quick breath with my heart slamming into my ribcage and whispered, "Please stop." And the head slowly pulled back out of the doorframe. At this time, I think I rationalized it as maybe just one of my foster brothers who'd always liked to mess with us. A couple years ago, my niece was explaining to my sister that she did not like to sleep by herself because at night she always saw this black shadow man looking through her door at her.
I'm curious if it's the same room or if it's just a familial haunting.
Right. Maybe it is a familial haunting or just like an openness maybe within the family to perceiving that type of paranormal activity.
I love getting out of my shower more than anything in the world because I get to wrap my body in my luxurious Quince towels. And I highly recommend everyone, let's all wrap ourselves in the same towels because they're the best.
And Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they do this by partnering directly with top factories. So they cut out the cost of the middleman. They get to pass those savings on to you, and they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
Right. And it's not just towels. I have the silk skirt, which I get compliments on every time I wear it. You have a really cute linen jumper from them. Well, you can indulge in affordable luxury like we are. Go to quince.com/TGOG for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/TGOG to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/TGOG.
As I grew up, being the youngest by 6 years, there came a time that I was the only child left in the house. And one of my last stories based in this house for this email had a lasting impression on me. When I was 15, my uncle got a new job where he was out of town during the week, and then sometimes he'd be out of town for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. It was Christmas break. I was home alone, and I was in my room reclining in my bed reading a book, and I was under my covers as it was just so cold in my room that day. I was under my comforter. The room was still. Then, suddenly, I froze as hot air landed on the right side of my face. I froze, and I heard the slight sound as if someone took a breath in before it came back out and breathed on me again. I don't know how long I sat there completely frozen, but I just stared blankly at the book page in front of me. And then suddenly, I erupted from my bed. I ran out of the room to one of the spare bedrooms. I sat on the bed the entire time waiting and expecting to hear these footsteps behind me. And I sat on the bed, book and knees clutched close, and I just didn't hear anything. I then began to rationalize what I had just experienced. Maybe the heat had just kicked on and the stream was hitting me, even though I could still clearly hear the breath that had been taken in from whatever decided to breathe their hot breath on my face.
That's also such a very purposeful haunt. It's not like an accidental like brush by you. It's a, I'm sitting in front of your face and I want you to know I'm here and I'm going to breathe my hot breath on your face.
Unless it was just also trying to read the book and just forgot that it was a mouth breather. I was like, oops.
That's a cute way to put it, but I feel like I'm just getting bad vibes.
Yeah. At some point, I ended up laying down in the bed of the spare bedroom. And it just felt so much safer to stay in there instead of returning back to my room and being out in the open parts of the house, which I wouldn't have done so willingly without having that motivation. I laid there and I tossed and I turned, moving on the bed, trying to get comfortable as I began to read again, when I did the unthinkable. I moved to where my legs were hanging off the side of the bed in the air. I laid there and I read my Percy Jackson book, and then I froze again. This time, it was not hot breath on my face, but what felt like an ice-cold line run down the back of my leg. After a second, I slowly began to get up when an ice-cold wrist wrapped around my ankle. Mm-mm. My pants bunched around my ankle, and the ice-cold was just seeping through. I tried to kick out, and there was this resistance before the feeling and the hold was gone. And then I shot out of that room and down the hall, out of the back door, where I ran some way into the yard before I just collapsed on the ground and I had an anxiety attack.
Oh my God.
I sat there until the sun began to set, and then I went straight back into my old room this time. I locked the door to my bedroom, uncaring of the fact that if my aunt came home and checked on me, I would be in some deep shit for having the door closed. I slid into my bed, I pulled the covers over my head, and I made sure that they were tucked in deep around me so that there were no openings.
Seriously.
And then I closed my eyes shut. I laid there silently until I fell asleep. Luckily, nothing else happened to me on that night.
Ugh.
But those are my most standout encounters at that house, in that I can remember things were never consistently big enough for me to talk about, like, oh, maybe we have a ghost, or maybe I have a ghost. Everything felt like such a norm that all these little things were just another day in the house.
And I can't even imagine that life at home or home life was a safe space to talk about things like this.
No. And it's like some of these things are terrifying paranormally, yes.
Yeah.
But it kind of seems like some of the stuff that was happening there between humans was scarier.
Yeah, and probably perpetuating the paranormal. Yeah.
Everything was such a norm that all of these little things felt like just another day in the house. Like when everything was quiet at the house, it sounded as if someone would be walking down the hallway, hand dragging along the wall, especially if you were there alone. My next story is long as well, but hopefully it won't be too long for you guys, but it is kind of a crazy one. And for privacy's sake, I will change the names of the people in the story. When I turned 17, I left the house and I never returned. I was lucky enough to have a friend whose dad let me stay with him and his girlfriend, and it was really great, and I was able to work on myself and start to understand who I am as a person, which I'm still trying to figure out that today, almost 10 years later.
Hey, me
but
too.
Back then, back then I was kind of an asshole. I was always extremely scared growing up about anything horror or paranormal or just anything that could be labeled as spooky until I moved out of that house. My best friend Dustin, Lisa, and Brandon and I were always doing this stupid stuff together, and we were always trying to one-up each other. Growing up in the little town of Crystal Springs, I knew of some little places and some urban legends that would really spook my friends, my own experiences included. When telling people about Crystal Springs, I always say that we have two notable places: the wildlife preserve that contains the springs that runs where we technically get the water for Zephyr Hills Water Company, and the Crystal Springs graveyard. The graveyard is such an interesting place. In the 70s, when Crystal Springs still had a decent population, the graveyard was where the kids would sneak off to go drink and party. A lot of the parties ended with them shattering or breaking tombstones, which is really pretty terrible, as many of the tombstones were not replaced, leaving many of the graves unmarked.
That's very sad.
Some of the headstones were so old that there was no notable family around to pay for the replacements. So all of these unmarked graves are just along this open field. And looking across, you can see the dips in the ground of where they are. I talk about the graveyard a lot. There's even this fake urban legend that one of Bloody Mary's spirits lives there. There's a tombstone, and the name on the tombstone is Mary A. Blood. This grave used to be listed on the plot, but now you can find it on the Find a Grave website. And I believe that this is because a couple years ago, someone went and desecrated some of the graves, including Mary Blood's, trying to dig out her tombstone because it was sunk into the ground. When coming to the graveyard, if you don't know where this tombstone is located, you would be hard-pressed to find it. So one day, Lisa comes over and she has her great-great-great-grandmother's Ouija board. She told us that it had been given to her and was passed down the family line.
That's so cool.
She wanted to go to the graveyard and see if we could contact any spirits. So at this point, I want to remind you guys that I'm 17 at this time. I was young, I was a dumb teen, and I was an asshole. At this point, I'd never used one of these boards, but as I was finding myself, I found a lot of bravado in being in a group of friends, and I never backed down from any challenge. I knew what was said about Ouija boards and the door that could possibly be opened, but like I said, I was young and dumb, and so I told them, yeah, we could take this to Crystal Springs Graveyard. So Dustin, Lisa, and I, we picked up Brandon. We did not tell Brandon where we were going,
and
the drive
Brandon
was a bit ominous. I know. Even with that bravery of being in the friend group, there's still this sense of trepidation, you know? So to get to the cemetery, it's on these back roads in the thick of the woods, dirt road after dirt road until you come to turn once more. And then there's this metal gate shrouded by large trees and bushes with a long beaten path between it. We get there and I tell Brandon that I had to go grab something from my cousin. And he looked like he thought something was up or funky about my story, but he didn't question climbing over the gate and walking down the path, or Lisa bringing a big tote bag with her for this quick stop.
Oh, poor Brandon.
Yeah, what a horrible prank for Brandon.
It's so funny because it's like they clearly know Brandon would never come along willingly if he knew the real But the fact that they continue to bring him anyway.
I know. The walk was about half a mile, and then it opened up into this large field revealing the old decrepit graveyard. Immediately, Brandon noped his way back down the path, but Dustin jogged after him and grabbed his arm. Come on, Brandon, it's fine. You can't just run off. We all need to stay together. You don't want some hick billy finding you alone to dice you up.
Sure, terrify the guy even more. I know.
Dustin's way of trying to convince Brandon to stay was not helpful as they both began to wrestle. Brandon was trying to get Dustin off, and Dustin was trying to keep his hold of Brandon. I yelled at them to stop, and then I just got between them. Brandon, I'm sorry that we lied to you. I just wanted for all of you to see it, and I knew that you wouldn't come willingly. So you don't have to come in if you don't want to, but please do not run off. At this point, I could tell that Brandon was angry, but he was breathing heavily, and he nodded. Just stay here. You don't have to come into the graveyard. I just want to show them a few tombstones, and then we'll be really quick. Brandon says, fine, but hurry. We shouldn't even be here. Which he was correct, but I do want to clarify a few things first. I knew of the history of this place. I have a fascination with graveyards and cemeteries, and I always go in, and I go in with respect. I had explained the history to both Lisa and Dustin as well, and we were careful to not walk on any of the grave sites. That being said, I don't know how respectful doing a Ouija board in their resting place was. But we walked along the tombstones, and I pointed to some of the oldest ones and ones that you were unable to make out the dates or the names. And then we came across the tombstone, Mary A. Blood. Her tombstone was sunk low into the ground. Grass grew over, hiding it from plain sight. It was here that Lisa pulled out her Ouija board and decided that it was going to be the perfect spot. As she began to place it on the ground near Mary A. Blood's tombstone, her and Dustin began to settle around it. I glanced to the opening of the field where Brandon was sitting against the tree before I shrugged down to sit and join them. I half listened as Lisa explained the rules to Dustin as I placed my fingers on the planchette, and we sat there for about 10 minutes or so asking questions, and occasionally the planchette would move, and at this point I was fairly certain that one of them was just playing around and moving it, but I didn't want to draw attention to it because we were just there to have fun.
Right, and that's the hard thing about Ouija boards. It's like...
yeah.
You are putting some trust in other people. And
totally.
When scary things happen, at least you have an out. Like, you can be like, oh, someone else was moving it.
It was for sure someone else was moving it. And we're like, no, you were moving. I wasn't moving it. Yeah, exactly. At one point, it just became a talking session with us all joking with each other, and our fingers were still pressed against the planchette when slowly it just began to move. H-E-L-L-O. Hello. I remember dramatically rolling my eyes and saying, hi, Dustin. Lisa and I laughed as Dustin immediately began the, I promise it's not me. And as he was denying that it was him, the planchette moved to no. Now, I've heard people talk about how you can tell if someone in your group is moving it, and it most definitely was not someone else. It felt like something else. I don't even know how to describe the feeling of dread that physically just washed over my body as the planchette moved across the board to no. It was such a strong and sure movement, and it felt like this deep hook grabbed onto my chest, causing me to heave forward as if something was trying to pull me to my feet. The tips of my fingers white with the amount of pressure that I was exuding down to keep my fingers pressing on this planchette. My eyes met Lisa's, and it must have contained the question, are you moving it? Because she shook her head before looking down at the board with her brow furrowed. If you're not Dustin, who are you? She asked. And still feeling something was not right, I glanced at Dustin, who was pale, and then I felt the planchette move to Z. And this is the point where I do have to remind you guys again, young and dumb.
Hey.
Trying to make the situation lighter, I called on my false bravado from earlier, masking the deep unease that I felt. Z? Oh, like Mr. Z, my sweet friend? I joked. It immediately moved to yes.
Mm-mm.
At this point, I began to think that one of them was moving it again, despite the tiny voice in the back of my head telling me that this was very real and I needed to get the fuck out. Encouraged by my brave face and probably thinking that I was messing with them, Lisa spoke over Dustin, who began to scold me for framing him in the beginning. Tara told me about you, Mr. Z. You left her. Immediately, the planchette moved to no. Well, if you didn't leave, where are you? Lisa asked. Maybe let's not piss off the ghost, Dustin spoke after a minute when nothing happened. I'm not pissing anyone off. Mr. Z likes me, Lisa retorted. And the planchette began to creep towards no before finally coming to rest on it. I don't think he likes you, Lisa. Destin cleared his throat.
I don't like that.
I know. We all had that weird nervous laugh thing going. Do you like me? I asked because I was nervous and I was scared. And I wanted to know if I was being followed by something that wanted to hurt me. Young me clearly not knowing or thinking that they could lie. The planchette creeped over to yes. Do you like my friends? I asked again, and it began to move back to yes, but stopped before making it all the way. Maybe that means only some of us. Destin widened his eyes and then pointed at Lisa tauntingly. Do you like Destin? Lisa asked, and the board moved to no, with the same momentum as the first time it moved. Well then, who does it like? I mean, you only talked to like 5 people, Destin began to say as Lisa cackled as the planchette began to move and started spelling out something else. Oh. B-R-A. And before it could finish, Lisa guessed Brandon, and it immediately moved over to yes.
I like that it likes the one person who is like, I don't want to communicate with the dead.
I know. We all look back to the opening of the clearing where we had left Brandon, and Brandon is not there.
Life has just been so busy. We've been working so much. We're preparing for so much. And the last thing I want to do is to have some complicated dinner that I have to make. And it's so expensive. And luckily for us, this podcast is sponsored by Dinnerly. Dinnerly is the most affordable meal kit that we've ever come across. And with our code TGOG, you can get up to 25 free meals.
And with Dinnerly, you can choose from over 100 delicious dishes every week, including a wide selection of cuisines and flavors, from steak dinners to oven-roasted salmon, or even your favorite takeout dupes. What I also love is that you can sort it so easily based on your diet and your dietary restrictions. I got the corn and black bean burrito bowl in my last week's delivery.
Oh, yum.
And my mouth is even watering thinking about it. I wish I had those leftovers. I'm going to have to order it again next time it's on the menu because it's so good.
I mean, I never stop my subscription. I just keep that baby going.
But you can also, it's very flexible. So like if you're traveling or anything, you can pause it and customize your meals the way you want them, which is great.
Dinnerly also has a complete market for grocery essentials, so they're stocked with over 125 items, and just with a few clicks, your grocery shopping is done, and it gets delivered directly with your meal kit.
Make cooking exciting, affordable, and easy with Dinnerly. Head to dinnerly.com/offer/TGOG and use code TGOG for up to 25 free meals. Once again, that's dinnerly.com/offer/TGOG for up to 25 free meals, and make sure you use our promo code TGOG so they know we sent you.
What the fuck? Where did he go? Destin moved his hands from the planchette, ignoring Lisa's grasp, got up and made his way over to where Brandon was. Destin, wait, I called. And I may be stupid, but even I know that we needed to stay there and say goodbye before removing our hands. Good. Unless we wanted some bad shit to happen.
Yes, at least you know that.
And that's when it began to move again and spell out phone and then spell out dead. I immediately pull the planchette to goodbye. I do it with so much force that Lisa's fingers come off the planchette and the planchette came off of the board. Fuck that. I get up and I run to the front of the clearing where Destin was yelling for Brandon, not helping Lisa gather her things or the board. Maybe he went to the bathroom, Destin said as he started to make his way through the thick of the trees. He probably just can't hear us. How far would he need to go? I exclaimed. I'm looking around. I'm trying to see any sign of him, and the sun is beginning to set, so the forest is looking pretty dark from all of the shadows. Guys, his phone is going straight to voicemail. Lisa rushed over to us. Not believing it, I pulled out my phone and I tried calling him. And yeah, it went straight to voicemail.
Mm-mm.
I literally just said it was Tara. Lisa gave me a look. And then I looked at her bag. There's no way that it would know. Dot, dot, dot. I got goosebumps at the thought. Did the board really just tell us that Brandon's phone was dead before we tried calling Brandon's phone and found that it was dead?
Which feels like a good thing, right? Yes. I feel like this entity came through with such dread at first. And I don't know if that's just like communicating with the dead is scary like that, but it felt ominous at first, and now it's telling you like an important message, right.
Which is like, was it feeling creepy because you weren't actually expecting to make contact with anyone, yeah, and you're in this like old creepy graveyard?
That's what I mean.
Or was that feel like, can something be both,
right?
You know, like we've learned more recently in some of our excursions about some demons or like trickster spirits that can kind of be a little bit of both. Like even the Fae. The Fae is a great example of something that can be both good and bad, have different energies.
Yeah.
First they're sour, then they're sweet. Dustin came out of the trees and he was totally out of breath. No sign of him, but it's literally so creepy in there. Maybe he went to the car to charge his phone, I suggested. Lisa nodded. Well, I don't have a charger, but maybe. So we all booked it down the path and we got to the car, but Brandon was not there. He was not in it. He was not around it. Now, I don't advise anyone to do this, but after several minutes of waiting around the car, we got in the car and then we drove up and down the road to see if maybe he got mad and began to walk home. And now at the time, I assumed that this was a good idea. But looking back, if he really had just stepped into the woods to use the bathroom and then we had left, he was probably freaking out. It was now pretty much dark, no street lights, and his phone was dead. It was a pretty dangerous situation. Mm. After a good solid 45 minutes, we drove back to the gate, but it was so dark that none of us felt like we should go back without flashlights. So we got in the car and we decided to call his mom. His mom answers the phone and Dustin begins to calmly try to explain the situation to her. And she keeps interrupting him saying, "What? What? I can't hear you. Tell whoever is with you to stop whispering on the phone. I can't hear a word you're saying." And then she just finally hangs up.
Stop. I forgot that part.
I know. We all immediately began to talk over each other when I pulled out my phone and I tried calling her and I noticed that I have a Facebook message from Brandon from about 20 minutes ago. He stated that he was at his brother's. He had him come pick him up before his phone was about to die and we had all been taking too long and he had tried calling out to us, but we were all ignoring him. So he just decided to leave, which is so weird that they didn't hear that either. You know, like they yell at Brandon and Brandon can hear them, but Brandon yells at them and they don't hear anything.
That's terrifying. Like they were in a little bubble.
He said he was lucky that his brother came when he did because his phone died right before his brother got there. And he was pretty sure it broke because he had his phone on the charger the whole ride home to his brother's house. But his phone was essentially a brick and it just was not charging. We were very fortunate that this ended in the way that it did. We all did end up apologizing to each other for how the day went and how the situation turned out.
And Brendan never trusted anyone ever again.
Well, to this day, Brandon doesn't believe that anything happened with the Ouija board.
Oh.
Dustin doesn't believe that the board spelled out phone dead when he went to go look for Brandon, because it was only Lisa and Tara at this point. And I didn't think too much about the interaction with so-called Mr. Z. Both Lisa and I still occasionally bring up the encounter and how one of us had been messing with the other one, but deep down, we know that we weren't. None of us ever really addressed whatever reached out to us that day. I mean, it did say it was my imaginary friend from childhood, but we wouldn't talk about it, and we didn't talk about anything that happened with the board besides Brandon's situation. As for the board, Lisa had left it at my house and hid it in my closet in a room that I stayed in at my sister's. When I moved out, I forgot about it, and I left it there. My sister said that she was cleaning one day, and she found it. So she had her husband burn it in a fire pit outside.
I am sad about the ending of this board, but I also understand.
Because it was like 100 plus years old.
But if I found a Ouija board in my closet, I'd be like, what the actual F is this? Get out.
Right.
Like, I would not be cool with that in my home, especially like being surprised by it.
Totally. And if you know any, like, I don't know how much Lisa shared with her sister about the situation, if they ever discussed it. But even so, even without that, if you find like this old creepy Ouija board, you're like, nope, no chances are being taken here.
Nope.
My sister and her family would talk about how for months when they would get up in the morning, the fire pit would be smoking embers, hot. Like whatever wood that was in it the night before was ash. And even on mornings after nights when the pit was not used, without fail, every morning, something would be smoking.
That Ouija board, still on fire, burning through the realms.
God, that's creepy. That's just like, I feel like that's confirmation that that was the right move.
Or not.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's so powerful. I've had a few encounters since then, a little here and there. But it wasn't until a few years ago when I was telling scary stories at night with my sister's little sister-in-law, Mandy, and I had reached over my shoulder to turn out the light and to make it scarier, that something growled in my face. A growl so loud, I felt the hair fly in the air behind the sound. And Mandy screamed, and I accepted, yeah, maybe I'm haunted. Maybe something is following me. Crazy that a dramatic event like this would make me acknowledge that. But that's a story for another time. I have plenty more. Things have been pretty calm around me lately, and I am hoping that it stays that way and that I stay safe. A few bumps in the night won't deter me from my path, but I've had some pretty scary experiences, and I feel like the energy that I carry with me sometimes manifests it.
Mm.
Sometimes your podcast causes things to happen too, but only one time was frightening. It was while I was listening to your episode 191, Julia's Possessed. Anywho, I think I should end this email here.
What happened when you were listening to Julia's Possessed?
I know.
Tara, you shared so many stories and you just leave us with a cliffhanger on that?
We need an update. I love you guys. I love your podcast and all that you do to help me get through the long drives and sad nights. You guys are my favorite ghostesses with the mostesses.
What?
Parentheses wrote, because spelled out mostesses, which is kind of hard to spell out. In parentheses, Tara wrote, LOL, hopefully that comes across as intended and y'all don't think that I'm trying to say that you have most testes.
Well, right now, Corinne, you do. You're growing a pair.
Wait, I actually do.
You're growing a pair.
I'm growing a pair. Wait, I've always dreamed of having a penis and now I kind of do.
Yeah.
It's just in utero. Can't wait to see you on the other side. Much love, Tara from Florida.
Wow. I mean, Tara, you've had so many experiences and have had multiple things breathe and growl in your face, which I don't love.
Yeah. And it's like, I can understand what's happening in that one house that Tara grew up into because there was such anger and violence being perpetuated by the adults there. And it didn't feel like a safe space. And I'm sure there was a lot of fear. And it's just like, you know, it's an attractive thing for darkness. And unfortunately, like certain energies to come try to manipulate. And so I understand all the activity there. But man, I feel bad that like the growling, the Ouija board experience, like Mr. Z potentially popping up. And it's like, is Mr. Z good? Is Mr. Z bad? Is he both? All of this is happening after Tara has moved out of her aunt and uncle's house.
So it does make me think that a lot of like other family members probably did experience things, but no one ever really talked about it. So I'm just really curious.
Right. Well, her niece is now talking about it. Her niece now sees the shadow figure creeping in, looking in her bedroom at night.
Okay. Well, I have one story to end us on and some kitty purrs for everyone.
Some ASMR from Leia.
She's so cute. Okay. So this is a story from our listener, Antonia, and it's called I Saw Legit Aliens. And
okay,
she says, hey, I'm listening to episode 50 and I wanted to tell you, I was in Belgium in 1989 and I was a witness to this. And it's a link to a infamous UFO encounter, which I had never heard about.
In Belgium? I don't think I've heard of it either.
My father was in the armed forces and we lived on an army base camp near Brussels. It was late November and my mom and I were outside one night just sitting by the fire chatting away when my mom looked up and saw a triangle of lights above our chimney. It was completely silent and stayed there for about a minute. And then it shot off so fast that my eyes couldn't follow it. We lived near a huge military base at the time, so we didn't really think anything of it. Probably just some secret army thing. But my father was a colonel high up in NATO and the British Army, and he came home the next morning saying that they had a wave of sightings and nobody knew what it was.
Ooh, multiple witnesses.
They asked the Belgian Air Force to investigate and they didn't know either. He's 70 now and still is adamant that it was UFOs. And then I saw this report on the wave of UFO sightings last year and I was like, oh my gosh, I was there. I'm one of those people. So the link is, it's the Belgian UFO wave. It happened or it began in November of 1989. Reports were filed. Most were many weeks after the event, but many of them reported a large object flowing at a low altitude that was flat triangle shape with lights underneath. And I think it was like over 140 reports. I want to do a full episode on it, but this is from Antonia. And now we're going to go do some research about it.
Do a deep dive.
Yeah.
No, I'm so curious. And also just the fact that so many UFOs look the same in so many of the reports, it does make me wonder, like, is this a man-made ship from future humans that we now see as aliens and they're time traveling? Like, it's just, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah. For that many witnesses and so many different forces, like, coming to be like, what is this? And with all that was investigated, seemingly no conclusive statement.
Yeah, there was no way to prove what it was. And
yeah.
Okay, you know what I found out? The town that my brother and sister live in, Morristown, New Jersey, there was a massive UFO hoax, like an infamous UFO hoax in that town.
Really? Dang.
I don't know more about it, but
I wonder if the people who did the hoax still live there.
I'm curious.
What if your sister or brother are neighbors with
they're best friends.
They have like afternoon tea with one of the biggest alien UFO hoaxers out there.
Yeah.
And then their sister has a podcast where she believes all the alien stories. So what a...
My sister's a secret podcaster. That would be a plot twist.
She does a voice changer and she just... Her whole podcast is going through all of our covered topics and trying to debunk every single one.
Wow. She's like our biggest hater.
Yeah.
Or she's like outing my secrets.
There are podcasts that exist like that out there where their only podcast is about trying to talk shit on other podcasts. And I hate that. Like, do something better with your life.
There was one that did it about us.
Yeah, we were one episode, but they were doing it. Every podcast, like they covered every podcast.
Yeah.
Don't look them up. Don't give them any listens.
To spend your
life. Why are you a hater?
Yeah, to spend your life literally hating on other people and like picking people apart is so, I can't even imagine the negativity that is just like percolating in their body. Like that is just not a way to live.
That's some bad energy we don't want to be
bad
around.
Bad energy.
We like support and love and kindness and compassion.
Yes.
And belief in one another.
And big old testes.
So if you like that too, and also ghost stories, you can email us at twogirlsoneghostpodcast@gmail.com. If you have stories about aliens, Bigfoot, cryptids, wild premonitions, dreams, visits from loved ones, visits from pets, a haunted college, just anything to do with the paranormal and the macabre, shoot us an email.
And join us on Patreon for episodes released 1 week early and ad-free, for a bonus episode every single month, and for campfire stories every Tuesday, and so many other bonus content and exciting, fun things that we're doing over there.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much to Jamie for editing and producing our audio and video. We're really grateful for you. And thank you to all of you for coming back every week. Please tell your friends. It is a pyramid scheme. So you got to at least tell two people, and then they have to tell two people. And then, you know, that's how
it's a rule.
That's how it works.
One of the only rules here.
Yeah. MLM.
You can whisper it to them. You can pass them a note. This is listen to True Girls One Ghost. Do it in the weirdest way possible.
Hack into their Alexas in their home and just start playing the podcast.
I mean, from what we've heard, I think the spirits already do that for us. So.
They are the head of the pyramid scheme.
Yeah. You guys are our human living flesh boots on the ground. And flesh we really boots. Appreciate all of your support. We will
see you on the other side.
Very spooky.